Today's broadcast is brought to you in part by Corporate Capital Direct. Listen, banks are not lending, and the online lenders may not tell you all you need to hear to make the right decision for your company needs. Get the inside edge for business financing. Whether you have capital needs for inventory, payroll, general operating expenses, or even to consolidate expensive debt or tax issues, Corporate Capital Direct can help you avoid common mistakes when seeking a capital solution for your business. Never upfront fees. Get the inside edge for your business financing needs. Call Corporate Capital Direct at 800-261-6478 or go to corpcapdirect.com. Again, call Corporate Capital Direct at 800-261-6478 or go to corpcapdirect.com.
Welcome to Legal News and Review, recipient of the Florida Bar Award of Excellence, and featuring Michael Santucci, co-chair of the Intellectual Property Division of the Broward Bar. From the law firm of Santucci Priori, practicing intellectual property, business, and entertainment law and litigation, located in downtown Fort Lauderdale. Legal News and Review, the only real problem solver radio program using the law, with your moderator, Philip Bell, and hosts and legal panel attorney, Gary Singer, chair of the Broward County Bar Association's Real Property Section. Gary Singer is board certified in real estate law and a syndicated columnist from the Sun Sentinel. He is an expert in his field of practice. Now, here's your moderator, Philip Bell.
On the docket for today's broadcast, this month, Governor Rick Scott has signed into law a tough new minimum mandatory prison sentences for people caught with more than 4 grams of fentanyl. Beginning this October 2017, judges will be bound to sentence people possessing 4 grams of fentanyl, 3 years in prison, 14 grams, 15 years, and 28 grams, 25 years in prison. These minimum sentences are meant to criminalize traffickers, which in recent years have grown into one of the most prominent opiate killers in Florida. And Florida Attorney General Pam Bondi says in a statement, it gives law enforcement and prosecutors the tools they need to combat the trafficking of fentanyl, and it will save lives. Today, we're very pleased to have the Honorable Judge Dennis Bailey, Circuit Judge 17, Group 6 of the Circuit Criminal Division. But first, I'd like to welcome and introduce our legal panel host. Good afternoon, Gary Singer.
Yeah, hey, Phil. How you doing today?
Good afternoon, Gary. It's a great
day.
Hey,
Phil, you know what a lot of people don't know? You do all of our little credentials on there, you know, the newspaper, the boards, the whole thing.
Right.
You know, I'm also the co-host of a radio show called Legal News and Review.
I heard that. I read that about you.
It's a great
show.
You're
actually one of the originators
with
you and the great Charles Moorhead. I remember that. I was there.
Oh, that's Gary Astro's show.
You know something? Good afternoon, Gary Astro.
Thank you for mentioning, honorably mentioning my name.
And, of course, Michael Santucci. Good afternoon.
How are you?
I'm doing good, Michael.
I'm happy we're doing this topic. You know, I've heard everybody knows someone that's died of a heroin overdose of a fentanyl overdose. And I just really was at a funeral, 4th of July weekend, of a friend's brother, a guy I play music with. And it's not an exaggeration.
Yeah.
It's just the opiate thing in general, the broader problem, it's not a hype.
If I may, Phil, on Michael or maybe Gary Astro, and this is Gary Singer, I live in a bubble. I mean, I'm a Parkland boy. What the heck is fentanyl? Genuinely don't know what it is. Some of our listeners might know.
Before we jump into that, we'll just...
You're going to know.
The measure, which is you can look this up, HB477. Now, according to Senator Jeff Brandis, who's a Republican from St. Petersburg, he warned that the bill is written that just a few grams mixed in a water bottle could put someone behind the bars for 25 years. And today, again, we're very pleased to have the Honorable Judge Dennis Bailey, Circuit Judge, District 17, Group 6 of the Circuit Criminal Division. Good afternoon, Judge.
Good afternoon.
You know, Judge Bailey, shouldn't the sentencing decisions always be in the court's hands?
Good question.
Well, the sentencing is always through the legislature first. I mean, they handle the sentencing not only directly like these minimum mandatories, but when they define what crimes are crimes, when they define what level crime it is, a felony versus a misdemeanor, or first-degree felony versus a third-degree felony,
right.
All these affect the sentencing. So the sentencing is affected all the way through the process. This is the heavy-handed aspect of the sentencing where the legislature decide they're going to make a statement. They're treating fentanyl now the same as firearms and homicides, giving a 25-year minimum mandatory. So that's a pretty loud sentence from Tallahassee.
If I may, I just want to make mention by way of introduction. I've known Dennis for over maybe 20 years. We've tried cases when he was in major crimes. We have a good war story. Maybe we'll get to it or not. But I just want to say that he was gracious enough on very short notice when I called his office yesterday and asked, and I didn't expect him to be able to make it or want to with such short notice, that he was gracious enough to accept the invitation. And I'm not just saying this. I got no pending motions in front of you right now, Dennis, so I have no reason to say this. If I did, I might, but I don't. I just really have always thought that you were a consummate lawyer. I felt that you are a judge's judge until I heard a couple of war stories recently about some rulings that I don't want to get into. I didn't get into detail, but I'm saying, really, Dennis Bailey? I'm not that easily influenced. Not.
My experience has been on the bench. Whenever you make a ruling, somebody leaves the courtroom disappointed.
I'm hearing it's more the defense in the state. I don't know. I'm just saying. But I've always found you to be the consummate judge, and I mean that from the bottom of my heart. I tried cases with you, and you deserve to be on the bench, whether you were elected or appointed. Doesn't matter. So thank you so much for, on short notice,
absolutely,
showing up and being a guy that's going to be perfect for this topic.
My pleasure.
But I want to talk about this. Well, first of all, I want to answer a question that was asked earlier. Fentanyl is a synthetic form of heroin that's about 1,000 times more potent than morphine.
Right.
And so what was happening is because ever since the DEA shut down the pill mills and took out the wholesalers and tried to destroy the pill mill or the pharmaceutical drug trade, so a lot of it being legitimate, they've deprived legitimate patients of pain meds. And ever since then, people who can no longer access their meds have gone to the streets. And now that's why this new surge in heroin or counterfeit drugs that are being sold as heroin, like fentanyl, that are causing deaths. The latest thing is this elephant tranquilizer. Very small doses are lethal.
But why fentanyl instead of Percocet?
Because it's very inexpensive.
It's killing people.
And it's odorless and tasteless. They come with patches or powder, and they can add it in, and people think they're getting heroin, and it gives quite the punch, but you're going to die if you do the same amount of fentanyl as you would heroin.
So people are taking it instead of heroin.
Yeah, they're being sold it, and they don't know the difference. And that's the problem I have, and I want to ask Dennis about this trafficking. Min-man, when somebody purchases it, and as suggested by Phil, our moderator, if it's mixed up in a liquid, they don't take the weight of the drug itself. Like an ounce of cocaine could have 2% cocaine in it, but it's the mixture. The total mixture, as
it depends on the language of the statute. There are a lot of statutes with drugs, such as cocaine. It's a substance including cocaine.
Mixture
or substance containing cocaine.
I mean, it can have a minute amount, but it's the whole amount. Right. But here, you can have, like Phil Bell suggested, the water weight of it, which could be 5 ounces, but legitimately there's only a couple of grams of fentanyl, yet they're facing him in man. How are you going to feel, and if you haven't had it yet, and you will, sitting on that bench, and there's no YO, youthful offender provision, where you can get under around a minimum man. It's the only way you can get around it as a judge, right? How are you going to feel about, and I know you have your strong opinions and you're a passionate guy, you're going to sit there and look at a 25-year-old girl that is an addict, not a trafficker, because trafficking isn't defined by delivery or trafficking as we would think. It's designed by how much you possess, which is insane, I think. So she's in there, and she's, a friend gets busted. She goes, I want to buy your prescription, and she sells it to her, and it's over 4 grams, and she's looking at 25 years or whatever the amount is. And you got to give her 25 years. Not going to say how do you sleep at night, because you're doing your job, but I want to know what's going on in your head, because I know you're a fair, reasonable guy, and I'm not just saying it because I believe it. And
well,
I know you're
going to answer it.
I'm going to take it out of the specific, because I have cases in front of me have minimum mandatory, including drug cases. But any minimum mandatory case, there isn't a judge on the criminal bench who's been on the bench for more than a year that hasn't had that case he's looked at going, I wish I could have some leeway. I wish I could do something other than what the legislature makes me do.
And has there ever been a collective effort by the judges to try to change that? I know it's more up to the legislature, but I mean, it must be, it's going to be more painful when you're facing a situation where the example that I posed, somebody who'd be looking at probation in reality is looking at 25 years minimum mandatory, 85% state prison. Hard to deal with.
It's hard to deal with, but it hasn't hit here yet. We'll probably see it after the first of the year. If the law goes into effect in October,
right?
These are going to be 2018.
Judge, this is Gary Singer. Is fentanyl the new scare of the year, or is this a new problem? Because every year it seems like we have something that's killing everyone.
Well, like crack.
So is this the new media scare of the year, or is this a real problem?
The amount of deaths we're seeing, it makes it a real problem, even though it's new and in a flash. It's a real problem.
Where do you think they're getting it, Judge?
Where the suppliers
are. Dealers. Like, why is there so much on the streets already? I thought drug manufacturers made this.
As Gary Oster said, because it's cheap.
And
that's
getting
why they're
hitting
it.
Well, counterfeiting it in China.
To me, this is worse. I mean, it's bad enough if someone is resorting to an opiate like heroin or has an addiction. But the way this is being sold, it's deceptive. The people don't know what they're buying, from what I understand. And it's being put in there by the traffickers to just put out a cheaper product, and they're selling it as something else.
This is the new crack, instead of cocaine, it's the crack of heroin, really.
But when people bought crack, they knew what they were buying. What Gary said is these don't know what they're buying, and they're shooting of the amount of heroin that they usually shoot, not realizing they have a more potent synthetic drug mixed with it, and it's killing them.
I want to ask the
greatest pressure to all this is not going to be on the judges, because their hands are
defense
tied.
Defense lawyers.
It's going to be on the prosecution's office. The fight's going to be getting them to exercise their prosecutorial discretion.
But they don't have any in Broward County.
Don't call this a horse if it's not a horse.
They don't have it in Broward
County.
Pony. And because, how about this element? They have to prove that you knew the nature and of the drug. If somebody sold fentanyl and they think it's heroin, I think I have a defensible argument to say, because one of the elements, correct me if I'm wrong, is you have to know the nature of the substance, correct?
Correct.
So I think the problem I find, and I don't care how criminal defense lawyers and Barrett are going to interpret this, because it's true, not enough lawyers take these cases to trial. And I don't like pleading people to min-mans. I rarely do it. I don't flip my clients either. I did it once in 34 years. These cases need to be tried because a majority of them that I've come across, and there's been many in 34 years, involve a CI who's been busted, who's desperate, who knows nothing about entrapment, isn't schooled, isn't properly supervised, and goes out on the street and sets up everybody they possibly can who trusts them to sell a prescription and calls them incessantly, which, of course, can be an entrapment argument. And lawyers don't want to be involved. They just want to plea them out or flip them. They want to flip them.
It's the prosecuting attorney who's got the discretion to waive the minimum mandatory, not the judge.
True, but they don't.
They can't plead open to me. I'm going to have to hammer them. But there are a number of cases where the state comes in, says, we worked out a deal, judge, we're waiving the minimum mandatory.
Yeah, but that's based on a flip, isn't
correct.
That?
Well,
substantial assistance.
In general, the other minimum mandatories, whether it's a firearm or some of these other
minimum mandatories. Delete the firearm out, then you can sentence.
Well, let me ask you this, Judge. I know as a member of the judiciary, you're going to follow whatever the law is made by the legislator. But in your opinion, do you feel that mandatory minimums in general are an effective deterrent to crime?
That's
good
not
question.
That's not a question for me. I'm on the front lines. That's right. I don't have the means to answer. I don't know how effective this is in the long run. I haven't done a study on it.
No, but minimum
mandatories have been around for generations on various crimes.
Gary's going to be amazed. I usually don't agree with him on this one, but I'm kind of thinking about it. Maybe you have me coming around. You know, I don't think people committing the crime are worried about, oh, I may have a minimum mandatory.
It's like the death penalty was never a deterrent for homicide.
I was going to say, it's like the death penalty. That it's never been proven that it's deterred anybody from doing it. It's called the criminal punishment code for a reason. It's just to punish.
From a bird's eye view, what I don't like about it is I don't think it's appropriate for some people in Tallahassee to be deciding what's going on, what should be going on in Miami or what should be going on in Orlando. That should be the local judges. You know, just the whole idea of minimum mandatories, that there's that problem.
But at the same time, there has to be some sort of uniform application of justice across the state.
Some form, but a
lot. And we know different judges can see the same facts and rule differently.
I'm not afraid to say this, and I know Dennis is going to be politically correct, or maybe he won't, but my experience has been in Broward County. I'm speaking for him again, with Mike Satz, who I like Mike. I contributed to his campaign, but I think Mike is a little bit – I think there's prosecutorial discretion is lacking in that office. I think so. You don't have to comment.
It was back in the 80s, and they were saying it then. I mean, that's always been...
They were saying what?
That it was lack of prosecutorial discretion the 80s.
Are you willing to take a position on that?
What made sense to me in the 80s, and what makes sense to me now, is that the state attorney has a responsibility that there's one system of justice in Broward County, and his priority of what is... how we're going to handle these cases should govern the office. We can't have a guy on the sixth floor with a different set of priorities on how these cases are to be handled than a guy on the seventh floor.
True.
So there's a certain uniformity that he owes his electorate.
But his discretion, but to promote discretion in his courtrooms is another story completely. Promote discretion where some cases may warrant and others don't, but their basic philosophy
every prosecutor goes in that courtroom has the responsibility to do justice on that case. And every case, how that's defined, is going to be different.
But their supervisor's got to sign off on the memo.
I was going to say, you've done very effectively done that process of if you think the line prosecutor is not being reasonable, go above him to the supervisor. Go to the supervisor's supervisor until you reach Mike Satz. You can go up the chain.
And then he tells me, no, we ain't doing it. So, you know, it's the same lack of discretion.
You know something? We're going to skip the break. We're going to go keep going on because this is great stuff.
Well, Judge,
just a quick question. 28 grams of this fentanyl, 25 years in prison. Now, minimum, that means there's no get-out-of-jail card. There's no probation.
It's
25 years.
In all fairness, there's one exception. If you're a youthful offender, 20 years old, at the time the crime was committed.
Well, that's a departure. It's taken him out of that
The judge can sentence under the minimum mandatory. That's the only exception. Or if the state deletes or reduces the charge, then the court. Otherwise, Dennis's hands are tied. He's got to give him the 25 years. And that, I don't believe that. Why are you up there? They may as well have a robot up there when he's a min man. That's my feeling.
Well, here's my question for you, Judge. You've been doing at this for a while. Do you feel that in Broward County, let's say, obviously we have more people now, but taking that out of the mix, do you feel that the problem of crime is getting better or worse?
It's a loaded question. You have such a perspective.
Right. The game has changed in a number of aspects. The number of homicides are down.
Mm-hmm.
And yet the severity of the juvenile violent crimes is up.
Okay.
So what do you attribute that to?
I don't understand it.
Lack of guidance, possibly? Lack of a father figure? Lack of
But I don't know that that's different today than it was 30 years ago.
I think it ain't better. Can we agree to that? The family's disintegrated.
It's disturbing that the callous, indifferent violence that we see committed by 14, 15, 16-year-olds.
Right. Worse than ever. In my day,
the armed robbery to with a gun to his head,
right,
to steal a cell phone,
right.
Well, there are more guns available today than there were 20 years years ago.
It's not the guns.
It's not the tools. It's the morality.
I get a kid in my courtroom who's 18. He's now graduated to the felony courts that I run. He's 18. He comes in with this terrible track record. He's a juvenile. The penalties are very brief. They come into felonies, and he comes across as this is one dangerous individual. So he's already coming in looking at, he's sitting next to a guy with gray hair in the box. And I tell him, look at the guy next to you. That's what you're going to look like if you don't turn this thing around. You got to turn it around.
And, you know, these are a lot of the reasons why I think the legislature enacts these minimums is because they see, you know, a lot of crimes get treated very, not treated harshly enough to stop
it. Again, that has never proven to be, and I think...
That's been a debate among mankind as long as there's
I'm going to ask a question. Do you believe that there's any room for rehabilitation, or is it more about punishment, as you pointed out earlier, the punishment code?
In the juvenile system, goal number one is rehabilitation.
Okay,
goal number two or three may be punishment. In the adult system, goal number one is punishment.
You think that's appropriate?
Rehabilitation has its place, but priority number one is punishment.
Judge, does that vary state to state? The adult criminal system
in
is
the
punishment.
Florida in the Florida statutes, it says this is a punishment code. The first purpose is punishment. Secondary is rehabilitation. Mm-hmm. Tallahassee makes a decision. They make a statement what we consider important here in the state of Florida. And they do it with their firearm legislation. They do it with the drug legislation. And that's what they're doing when they make minimum mandatories. They're making a statement. This is how we handle things in Florida.
I want to put you on the spot. If I haven't already, again. If I haven't, I want to do it now. if there was theoretically a law where you just every fiber of your body disagreed with it, it was outrageously unreasonable, and it was absurd and ridiculous, and you were forced to impose a sentence upon somebody based on that scenario, hypothetically, would you ever consider, do you see yourself saying, you know what, I'm not going to do it? And what consequences did you expect? You think they have it in you to do that?
I haven't done that. I remember as a prosecutor, and I was in front of one of the big, tough judges in Broward County's history. He's now passed away.
Stan Kaplan?
Right.
I think he was the greatest thing since
right.
I left.
And he would pull off the record, pull both his attorneys aside, and read us the Riot Act. This is not going to trial. State, you're going to work this out. Defense, you're going to plead to this. Now, you two guys go in there and figure it out.
Which
but
was
I'm not.
Good.
I mean, that's the way he handled it. He thought this was not. The way we're headed, this is not headed for a just result.
Right.
So let's turn the ship around.
That's very common in civil, yeah, for judges right. to tell us, get right. in that room and work this out.
But right. there are programs like drug court. We had Judge Tobin Singer on, no relation to Gary Singer, but she presides over drug courts. Can these cases with these minimum mandatory be moved to drug court? For
That's a great question. There are certain cases that they will not handle. For instance, they won't handle dealing. They won't
possession
handle
with intent.
Right.
I fought with Jeff Marcus for months to try to get my lawyer client, who would have been disbarred if he pled, who went to recovery and was perfect from the date of the arrest on, couldn't have been more stellar in his performance. And Mike and Jeff would not put him in a post-adjudicatory drug court or give him an opportunity, even though he cleaned himself because it was a possession with intent. To me, the problem with that is that's a policy, and a policy is inappropriate to apply to all possessions with intent or deliveries because they're all different.
If you get in the policies of the state attorney's office, I'm saying that it depends on how the crime is identified. If it's calling it possession of fentanyl, 28 grams, it may be able to go in there. If it's calling anything which is 28 grams or more, is now called possession with intent to deliver, then it can't go in there. It depends
on
the language.
I'm not talking about the min-mans. I'm talking about just having a policy where, okay, if somebody delivers something in Broward County, our policy in the state attorney's office is to make sure we offer at least county jail time. That's their policy. On every delivery case, whether it's a small amount of weed or a gram of cocaine, they want jail time. And I think that's contrary to what prosecutorial discretion is in it should be.
How can an office operate, Gary, without policies? How can any office operate without policies?
No, you have to apply
policies?
A different application to each case because each case is different in terms of its weaknesses, its strengths, and the defendant. They're criminalizing addiction.
But you still need policy. I'm not saying do away with
addictions. Addiction's not a crime. Addiction's a disease.
But you can't expect either the judiciary or the state attorney's office to go against what the stated policy is.
I'm not to reject the minimum man. That's
which
not
is
what
not
I'm
rehabilitation.
There's
it's
no
punishment.
Min-man for delivery. They impose their own as a policy, and I'm very much opposed
to it. Flipping it back to the topic, obviously 4 grams of fentanyl is a lot. Because they're talking trafficking.
It's not a lot.
But the legislator seems to think it's a lot. And if you're delivering this deadly drug to other people, I can't say, I don't know about
okay,
me.
If you possess 4 grams, you're presumed a trafficker. You don't have to deliver it.
Where else would you possess 4 grams?
To use it.
4 grams?
Yeah.
What's the dosage? If they're dealers, they should
okay.
be punished.
In all seriousness, normally this is the time where we put a contact number. And Gary Astro, because people
well,
may
want to
follow
up. Well, it's easy
to
contact. Just got to commit a crime.
That's right. But Gary Astro, they may want to follow up with you. And to further delve in this, maybe they have an issue themselves with either possession or delivery.
I'm not going to give Judge Bailey's home
no.
number out.
give out your. Oh yeah,
you're right.
I don't think that's appropriate.
Give out your contact and Gary Singer. Then take us off.
Okay, my contact, which is more important than Gary closing us, is 954-566-4033-247. And I will respond within a few moments.
And this is Gary Singer. I do want to say, if you've been accused of a crime, call Gary Astro, not
right.
Gary Singer. No, Judge, thank you so much for being on. It was
my
an
pleasure.
Absolute pleasure to hear what Gary Astro thought
I'm
you should
afraid
say.
He has such a good radio voice that we might all lose our jobs.
You're not kidding. Judge, you really do.
But sincerely, thank you for taking the time. It means a lot to us and our listeners. And to our listeners, have a great day. And as always, folks,
be legal.
You've been listening to the award-winning Legal News and Review, recognized by the Florida Bar's Award of Excellence. Legal News and Review, featuring Michael Santucci from the law firm of Santucci Priori, located in downtown Fort Lauderdale, and practicing intellectual property, business, and entertainment law and litigation. They can be reached at 500law.com or at 954-351-7474. To contact the legal panel hosts and guests, go to BeLegalBuzz.com. And to reach Gary Singer, board-certified real estate and syndicated columnist, appearing in 400 media outlets, including the front page of the Money Section every Monday in the Sun Sentinel, from the law firm of Gary M. Singer, PA, call 954-851-1448 for legal news and review. Remember, be legal.
Today's broadcast is brought to you in part by Corporate Capital Direct. Listen, banks are not lending, and the online lenders may not tell you all you need to hear to make the right decision for your company needs. Get the inside edge for business financing. Whether you have capital needs for inventory, payroll, general operating expenses, or even to consolidate expensive debt or tax issues, Corporate Capital Direct can help you avoid common mistakes when seeking a capital solution for your business. Never upfront fees. Get the inside edge for your business financing needs. Call Corporate Capital Direct at 800-261-6478 or go to corpcapdirect.com. Again, call Corporate Capital Direct at 800-261-6478 or go to corpcapdirect.com.
Do you need an attorney? Call someone you can trust. The Broward County Bar Association, a not-for-profit organization, was founded in 1925 to foster courtesy, ethics, and professionalism, as well as to provide necessary legal services throughout South Florida. The Broward County Bar Association, 3,000 members strong, has attorney members that work throughout the entire state of Florida, as well as nationally and internationally. Remember, the Broward County Bar Association is a referral you can count on. Call the Broward County Bar Association at 954-764-8310 for all your legal needs. A referral you can count on. 954-764-8310 or contact online at browardbar.org. Non-lawyer spokesperson.